It's my 300th episode, Mom.
Well, it's amazing.
It's pretty good, right? Your son is all gay.
What do you mean, all gay?
I mean, I'm so gay.
There is a God, right?
Well, you could just say that you're proud of me.
I always say that.
I know. I know. Thank you, Mom.
It's so annoying. Do you want to talk to your dad?
Hey there, everybody. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm your host, Ken Schneck. This is episode number 300. We'll get to that in a second. As always, if you want to get in touch with us, drop us a line. Just pen an email. Send it on over to ken@thisshowissogay.com. Stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com to learn all about the fun things happening with our little gay radio show that could. You can follow us on Twitter. The handle is thisshowissogay. And of course, go to the Facebook. Type in thisshowissogay. Like us, because we sure as heck like you. Episode number 300. We have some old friends coming on. We have some new friends coming on. We're going to start with our new friend. Jim J. Bullock is an actor, a performer, a comedian, a television host, a game show panelist, and oh so much more. He played Monroe, the neighbor you desperately wanted to be your neighbor, on 118 episodes of the award-winning classic sitcom Too Close for Comfort. He was everybody's favorite narcoleptic prince in Spaceballs. He provided the voice for my favorite gay duck of all the gay ducks, Adam Seymour Queer Duck Duckstein, in both the TV series and movies. He's been on Glee and Roseanne and The Bold and the Beautiful and so many more. His game show participation, which we're going to talk all about because that's an obsession of mine, includes Match Game, Body Language, Hot Potato, and yes, a legendary turn on Hollywood Squares. On the stage, Jim J. won a Los Angeles Drama Critics Award for his performance in When Pigs Fly, and he appeared on Broadway in Hairspray. That I had to edit anything out of this bio caused me actual pain, but, you know, we should actually talk to him. So, Jim J. Bullock, welcome to the 300th episode of This Show Is So Gay.
Wow, I'm in a coma after all that. Thank you, Ken, for having me on this show, and I'm so happy to be here for the 300th show.
We are so happy to have you. I mean, we have to just get this out of the way. My assumption is in the early 80s, you received my fan mail and you were quite bowled over by it.
That's exactly it, and I've saved that letter all this time, and finally I was revisiting my old fan mail, which I often do these days, and cry.
Oh, I love that you make it sound like I sent only one piece of fan mail, as if it wasn't just a deluge of fan mail, because I have to tell you, I've never said this on the show before, Jim J. Bullock, my first crush.
Was that you who sent all that Was I really your first crush?
Oh, my gosh, you totally were. I will say, the hair, Jim. I don't even know what to say about the hair. I don't know how to get someone gets their hair to do that.
Well, you know, I don't know how to tell you that it went that way either. I guess I blow-dried it. I mean, or blue-dried it. I was blessed to have this great hair, and thank you. And I put sun in it. That's what I would put in it to give it that blonde thing. I wasn't like spending a lot of money at any Beverly Hills salon. It was like sun in and lemon.
I love it. I love it. All right. We have so much ground to cover. Are you ready?
Oh, my God. Yes, I'm ready.
All right. This is going to be like a whole Jim J. Bullock, This Is Your Life, because there's so much to talk about. So much to talk about. So we start out with your upbringing. Raised in Texas, were you not?
I was. I was actually born in Wyoming, but we were only there for a very short time. My dad was in the oil field, and we moved around wherever the work was, and sort of at the end of that phase of his life, which is sort of like being an army brat, you know.
Yeah.
We ended up in Texas and stayed there. So really, I'm really a Texan, but I was born in Casper, Wyoming.
Nice.
Yeah, in Texas.
Nice. And you started out, you attended the Oklahoma Baptist University, but then at some point you made that decision, you know what, I'm going to Hollywood.
Well, yeah, because, you know, I was brought up in the church. I was brought up Southern Baptist, and oh God, it's such a road. But to try to just give you bullet points on it, I was going to go into the ministry.
Okay.
And I, in my sophomore, my junior, senior year in high school, I got involved in the drama department, which was, you know, sort of like, you know, it was unscrewing the hinges on my closet door.
Gotcha.
Which I didn't even know I was gay, but I mean, I knew that I was different. Different, such a good word, because I knew I was different. Gay wasn't so talked about then, you know. It was a totally different time, and so, but you know, I got involved in theater at my high school, and I did Bye Bye Birdie, and I went, oh my God, I love this so much, but I can't do this and serve God the way I want to serve God and be a Christian. I mean, theater is just a bunch of, you know, sinful people. But I ended up going to college on a voice scholarship because I'm a singer, and I that was my first foray into performing, was singing at church. And it was there that I was cast in a production of Godspell. This is a very long answer to your question.
I love it.
Through Godspell, I went, wow, I can sing, I can be funny, I can do all these things and be in the theater. And so it really hit a note in me, and I went, this is what I want to do, and I can do this, and I can do what God put me on this planet to do. So that's what brought me out to LA, was to pursue my acting career. But Godspell in my college days was the thing that catapulted me into that decision.
Now, it strikes me, and maybe the time frame feels a little bit longer to you, but it looks like from the dates that I see here on my computer that Too Close for Comfort happened relatively soon after you went to L.A.
Yeah, it did, actually. I came out to L.A. in 1977. I was 20. I had just turned 22. I came out like in February, and my birthday is February 9th, so I just turned 22, so I was a very young 22, but I was really, really, really fortunate, and all the right pieces were put into place. I did Godspell yet again out here, and I got a crazy agent because of that, but that crazy agent, she got me involved in stand-up comedy. At a time in like 1978 when stand-up was, I don't know that stand-up has ever been as hot as it was then. It was so hot, and it was just the place where all the networks were going to test the new sitcoms. They'd just gotten Robin Williams, you know, from there for, you know, Morgan Mindy, and Steve Martin had just come out, and stand-up was just exploding. And I was at the right place, the right time, doing the right thing, and so I was really, really fortunate that only 3 years later did I get on Too Close for Comfort.
Wow. How do you even wrap your mind around the experience of doing Too Close for Comfort? This was many years of your life in such a popular show.
Yeah, I have such fond memories of it. I'm just so, so fortunate that I had that experience. And you know, at a time when there were only three networks.
I mean,
there was ABC, NBC, and CBS. There wasn't 700 channels, and, you know, there was no Fox TV even. And it's so weird to think that it ever happened for me.
Yeah.
You know, it was such a shot in the dark and, you know, just such a impossibility that it happened. And They were really six wonderful, incredible years. And to get to work with Ted Knight and get to be in, to learn from him, he was such a master.
Yeah.
He really was. I'm very, very, very blessed. And I hate that word. But at the same time, I can't think of any other word that I can use to describe how I feel about it.
Absolutely. Now, you said in an interview once that you said my publicist would put me in the National Enquirer with different girls of the week. Any exciting girls we should know about?
Girls of the week. Well, you know, I
love that this makes you laugh.
I've always had girlfriends because I'm a big Mo. I've always related to girlfriends. I always had girlfriends growing up because, well, I enjoyed playing with Barbies and I had my little Chatty Cathy and, you know, stuff like that. But I just related to girls better than I did boys growing up. I just did. And so I had a bevy of girlfriends back then. Bevy, don't you like that word? But, you know, I wasn't out. I wasn't even comfortable. I couldn't be out because I wasn't comfortable.
Yeah.
I wasn't out in to myself, really. And but that's a whole nother thing. But, you know, I really took, you know, and my publicist and those people around me took care to try to, you know, keep it that way. So that, because, you know, I guess it could hurt you. It was such a turning point in our society,
yeah,
in Americans television, you know, because gays were not, it was not a good thing. It was changing, but it was not, had not changed yet. And so I was afraid it could hurt, and those around me were afraid that it would hurt. And so, yes, we would I would ask Elaine if she would, you know, go to this event with me, and, you know, the tabloids would put you in this event and, you know, with this girl, and the tabloids weren't even like going, you know, he's a fag, but, you know, they were very, they all knew I was a fag. I mean, everybody knew I was a fag.
Yeah.
Well, anyone had a brain knew I was, but, you know, still people just weren't outing people at that time. And it was still sort of the old Hollywood studio system kind of, you know, inside thing.
Right, right. You know, because some reports say, oh, well, Jim J. Bullock came out on the Joan Rivers show, but you've been in all sorts of press saying, what are you talking about? Like, I've had these conversations with other people.
Well, I think what that's from is the first time I ever said I was gay was on the Joan Rivers show. During the Too Close for Comfort years, you know, even Ted, no one was supportive of me coming out. And I was not ready to come out to my family, to my friends, of course. I mean, my God, of course I was out to my friends. But my family was a big concern.
Right.
And in my own life and my own relationship with God, I was not at a place where I was loving. I was accepting and loved myself.
Yeah.
I was still in a self-judgmental phase and a religious judgmental thing and all that. And so, but on the Joan Rivers show, after, and Hollywood Squares was sort of the turning point for all that, mainly, I think, largely because I just went, this is ridiculous, and I just went, I'm not going to keep this a secret anymore. And I think what the catalyst for that was finding out I was HIV positive.
Yeah.
And going, well, you really have to either love yourself or because not loving myself, not feeling I was worthy and sort of what made me positive. And so, you know, not feeling I was worthy of love and a relationship, and I'm getting awfully heavy here. It's okay. But, you know, that was going on the last few years of Too Close, 1985, the last 2 years of Too Close. And then Hollywood Squares, I was in that process. And it was during the Squares years that I went, you know, I think I'm ready to come forward with this, take the next step. And Joan Rivers' show was the first time that I ever said that I was gay on national TV, you know.
You do recognize that, I'm not saying that there are different levels of gay, but that coming out on the Joan Rivers show is like a whole different level of gay.
It,
That's like stratosphere gay. And this is coming from someone who hosts, this is the 300th episode of This Show Is So Gay, but that doesn't go anywhere near coming out on the Joan Rivers Show.
Yeah, no, that's like pride in the whatever galaxy we're in, a bigger galaxy, and that's like mega pride in that galaxy.
Wow.
You know, I've never even thought about that until you mentioned it now, but that is true. I mean, I've never really put those two together, but thank you for doing that. But that is actually pretty amazing that on the Joan Rivers Show is the first time I publicly announced that, you know, I'm gay.
Jim Jay, I mean, I adore you, but I don't understand how you're not using that as a trump card in any conversation. Someone comes up to you and says, oh, well, I'm a golden gay. Well, really? Because I came out on the Joan Rivers Show.
I know. Well, I just, you know, I know.
Use it.
Use it, bitch. I mean, I've been told by so many people I need to write a book, and maybe that could be one of the chapters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh, yeah. Totally. Well, now, I would imagine that in this book that you're going to write, and it's going to come out, and I'm going to love it, that you would have to – I know this is not a favorite topic of yours, but I would be remiss if we did not at least very quickly touch on ALF.
Oh, yeah, no.
You said at one point, this was you, Jim J. Bullock, said, quote, I've tried to forget that show altogether, just a miserable group of people doing a miserable show.
Wow. You know, that's true. And you know, I it was not right for me to be there. I was not the right person that they wanted for that. And they kept trying to put my shape peg, whatever, round, square, triangle, whatever it is, into a shape that it didn't fit. And it was not a pleasant experience. You know, I had just come off of Hollywood Squares, which was such a joy machine. It was absolutely just joyous all the time. And it was just doing what comes naturally. And they loved every syllable that fell out of my mouth, you know. And there was such freedom. I've never experienced, even on Too Close, I never have experienced the freedom I had on Hollywood Squares. It was just like, just whatever I did was fine with them, you know. And to go from that to this confined, no, let's do it again, don't do this and don't do that, and let's dye your hair black, which was, or dark brown, which was, I was like, oh, what? You know, that was my big clue. But, you know, it was a network show, and it was a big network show.
Big,
and I had
been
on network TV since Too Close for Comfort, and I wanted to get back on. And so, you know, just wasn't a right fit. And they were all nice people. But you know what? It wasn't a happy set. They were not happy. It was a miserable set. And I came off Hollywood Squares, which was tic-tac-toe, for Christ's sake, you know, and went on to, you know, this miserable. We didn't even shoot on a studio lot. We shot in a warehouse somewhere in Culver City. So you couldn't even walk out the door and see the life of a studio, you know. It was just isolated and creepy.
But you get to say that you were on ALF, and that's something.
Oh, and that little f***er. Oh, my God, just dealing with that creature was not fun. And I mean, you know, I mean, you had to, like, wait, you know, to shoot, like, they had to dig trenches, you know, because it was a puppet. And it just, you had to wait around for him and his ego. And no, not the best time.
Well, let's move back to some happier times, because my gosh, you and game shows, it's like my dream. It's just my dream, and you've been on such fun ones. Hollywood Squares. Now, how do you feel about, I know you've been asked this before, but I would love to get your take on, how do you feel about the Paul Lynde comparisons?
Oh my God, I'm flattered beyond words. Paul Lynde was such an influence in my life. Oh my God, you know, I'm sitting here watching, waiting for your call, and I'm watching Star Trek. It's on MeTV, and I'm seeing these people that, you know, because I haven't, this is the 60s Star Trek, so it's like these images, these people that I haven't seen in 40 years, and I'm going, oh my God, yes. And this one actor that I just saw on Star Trek, I went, I know he's gay. I don't know who he is. I can't even tell you his name. But I remember as a kid having this connection with him because it was sort of like Dr. Zachary Smith on Lost in Space. It was like, there's a connection here. And Paul Lynn was that same way. I connected with him in a way I couldn't explain. I related to him, and I didn't know why.
Yeah.
A long, 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 long time. But I just thought Paul Lynn was, he was the cat's pajamas. He would make me laugh, and I would emulate him, and people would go, oh, you're like that funny guy, you know, and it was such flattery to me. So for me to even, and I really do think he's genius, and this is not a humble pie thing or anything. I'm not a Paul Lynn. I'm flattered that anyone would even put me in the same category with him. He really carved his spot out in this life and in his life, and there's only one Paul Lynn, and there will not be anyone to fill it, you know.
Yeah. Oh.
I love him, so you know.
So that was Hollywood Squares. So much fun. Now, I don't want to reduce your career down to this byline, but I have to tell you, hardly anything that you've done excites me more. You might not even remember doing this. That's what makes me nervous. Do you even remember being on Super Sloppy Double Dare?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Oh, my God. You know, did I host it? I was a guest, and I know I hosted it one time.
Double Dare, let me just tell our listeners, in case you don't know, Double Dare was huge. It was huge. That was such a big part of my childhood. And Jim J. Bullock, this week's guest on Super Sloppy Double Dare.
Yeah, that's in that galaxy with Joan Rivers.
yes.
It was some, that was Mark Summers, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. And I knew Mark many years before that. And, oh, God, yes. That was like, there's a show out now that's kind of like it but doesn't capture it, where you do all these weird things and you have to jump on big balls that are rolling around in lakes. And
oh, it's that Wipeout.
Yes, Wipeout.
Yeah.
But it doesn't come close to what Double Dare was.
Not even remotely.
It was incredible.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I think I guessed it on that, and I think I hosted while Mark Summers did it or something.
Yeah. I remember, though, didn't Mark Summers, wasn't he like a germaphobe? And thus hosting Double Dare was like his nightmare.
I didn't know.
I read that somewhere. It might not be true, but we make stuff up on the 300th episode of This Show Is So Gay, so it's fine.
Oh, but that's okay. You know, Howie Mandel was a German. Working on it.
Yeah, he's working. We're working on it with him.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Well, you play around kids, you're doomed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Doomed.
Well, we have to talk quickly about the Jim J. and Tammy Faye show. Now, I know that it didn't go as long as I would imagine you wanted it to. Where did you see that going?
Oh, my God. That was one of my biggest disappointments, because we all saw it going very, very far. And we were so excited, and it was so unique and so different, and there was nothing on TV, or had been anything on TV like that pairing. And, oh my God, we saw that show going very big.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was right before Rosie launched her daytime show. And I really do think, as Rosie does, that show could have been as big as Rosie's show, because it was so, it was all about joy and fun. And it was this incredible pairing with, you know, Tammy and me. And I was out and open, and here's Tammy and all of her baggage that she brought, and the love that she brought. There was so much to that, you know, and they really snuck it, and it was really an unfortunate thing, and we were all very disappointed and sad, and you know, it took a long time for that wound to heal.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, and then I just brought it up. I'm sorry, Jim J.
Yeah, great. No,
sorry.
No. No. You know, it's great experience. Everything you look back on, you know, you can say, wow, I learned this from that, or whatever, or I didn't learn anything, so it. But that was an incredible experience for me. And I just wish it could have had the life that it deserved.
All right. Well, we're gonna lament that. With you mentioned earlier about your HIV status, you have this one quote that I rarely disagree with a guest, and especially one that I had a crush on for so long. But you said this at one point, and I would love to get your take on it. You said, "I've never felt comfortable being labeled an activist or a champion. All I've done is try and honestly and openly share what my life has been like in a very matter-of-fact way. I'm gay, I'm HIV positive, and I won't duck questions." Surely you understand, Jim J. Bullock, that just by being open and honest, that actually does make you a champion.
Well, it does, and yes, it absolutely does. And that was actually a very nice quote. I can't believe I said it, but no, it's true. It is just being honest about where you're at. That's sometimes all you can do, and I appreciate you saying that. Because I have been honest and I have been upfront, and since I've come to a place many years ago, I've just not hit it, and I don't see the point. And now I just completely, it baffles me that anyone still has the high. I just don't get it.
Yeah.
You know, but I think what I meant as an activist or something beyond being honest and open. I don't know that I've been on the front line fighting like a lot of people have been. I've just kind of lived my life, and I think we all have different callings, and I don't think we're all meant to be on the front line. And maybe I've just by being open, and at a time when it maybe wasn't so easy to be so open, I was on the front line, and maybe I'm being too humble about it, you know.
Is that pressure that the gay community ever tried to put on you, that they wanted you to be more of a champion, that they wanted you to be more of a change agent?
I think it's pressure that I've put on me.
Okay.
Yeah, not the community necessarily, but just like, could I do more? Could I have done more? Of course, we all could do more, and we all could have done more, but we do what we do, and, you know... And you have to be okay with that, too.
Yeah.
So,
because due to the fact that you came out on the Joan Rivers show, I think that technically makes you our leader. I think that's the definition of our gay leader. So I'm just putting that out there. No pressure.
Wow. You know, go on. I'm sorry. I can't. I forgot about that. I've never thought in that term.
So, I'm just going to keep returning to it.
I know, and I basically because I don't have, you know, unless I really am made to sit and think about the past, I really kind of forget it. I'm sort of like my cat looking at a corner and just kind of going, oh, it's a corner. And that's sort of all there is.
Well, that's why we do this. That's why we do this. Listeners, not only did he have a very gay coming out, but I would argue that you live in one of the most gay apartment complexes that has ever been put together.
That is true.
But yes. For our listeners, if you didn't hear a few weeks back when we had our great friend Terry Ray on the show, Terry Ray, a neighbor of yours.
My next door neighbor. I could bore a hole into his living room. Right now. I won't.
I will pose the question that I posed to Terry just a few weeks ago. Do you understand how difficult it is to wrap my mind around the fact that there was once a project that featured Terry Ray, Jim J. Bullock, and Charles Nelson Reilly all in the same project?
Did you see it?
It overwhelms me to even know that it exists.
Did he send you the gun?
He has not. I don't have one.
He should send you the Gator gun.
I'm trying to get one. But here's the thing, Jim J. Bullock. What he did do for our show this week, for our 300th episode, he has provided the answers so that you and I can play a game together. Are you ready to play a game?
I'm ready.
All absolutely. Right. Well, I have 6 questions for you. If you get...
Oh, God, the pressure's on.
If you get 4 out of 6 right, we will send you a This Show Is So Gay magnet. If you go next door to Terry Ray's place, he's got one on his fridge.
Oh, okay. I'll have to look at it when I'm taunting him about not sending you the gun.
Okay, please do. Now, the rules are pretty easy for this week's game, Jim. The only possible answers are Jim J. or Terry. Each question, the answer is either Jim J. or Terry. Are you ready to go?
I know where this is going, yes.
Okay, here we go. 6 questions.
Yes.
6 okay. questions. Let's see if you can get 4 out of 6 right, and you will win. Question number 1. Who is the louder neighbor, Jim J. or Terry?
Oh, it's like the Newlywed Gang. I'm louder.
That is the correct answer. The correct answer is indeed Jim J. Very good. You have 1 right. Very good. Question number two. Who generates more trash, Terry or Jim J?
He does, Terry.
That is the correct answer. Very good. And I let you guys interpret the word trash any way you wanted to. So I think it works. I think it works. All right.
This is in terms of what we have to roll down the hill in a canister. And it's taken away on a dump truck.
I did not define it for you, however you want to go there. I don't know what gets rolled down hills in the morning where you guys are. Question number 3. If the police show up, whose apartment are they more likely to be visiting, Jim J. or Terry?
Jim J.
That is the correct answer. This is very good. You've gone 3 for 3. Very good. Very good.
I'm feeling good. I just want you to know they tested me for Pyramid, and they didn't have me on.
Oh my gosh.
I was too stupid.
Pyramid's too much pressure. You don't want the pressure of Pyramid. You're good with the quips, and you're good with the actually relating to people. Pyramid, that Dick Clark, it's very intense.
Yeah, no, I couldn't. No, it's true. It's true. You should absolutely quips and little quick comments or what I do.
Oh, yeah.
You know. Having to give knowledge that could actually help someone is not my forte.
We leave that to Marky Post. I've always wanted to say her name on an episode, so now I've done it.
Marky Post, wow. Wow.
I'm here to help, folks. Question number 4. You have 3 right. It is this question for the win. This question for the win. Who is – this one's easy, too. See, you're going to win it on an easy one. Question number 4. Who is more likely to be hosting a lavish feast, Jim J. or Terry?
I am.
That is the correct answer, and you've won the game. I'm going to make you do the last 2, though. I'm going to make you do the last 2.
Okay, let's see.
I think you could go 6 for 6, although one of them's a little tricky. Not this one, though. Who is likely to be more welcoming to new neighbors, Terry or Jim J.?
Oh, wow. Welcoming to new neighbors. I'm going to say Terry Ray, because he's the one that kind of got us all in here.
Not only did you get the right answer, but you got the correct full answer. He said, Terry, because I handpicked all my neighbors.
Yeah, he got us all in our little gay Melrose place here on Hyperion. Yeah.
Oh, my God, I want to move there so bad. Question number 6. Now, this is a little bit of a trick question, I didn't think it was going to be, but it turns out it was. Question number 6. Who has better Halloween candy, Jim J. or Terry?
Oh, I don't even have Halloween candy, so I'm going to say Terry Ray.
Actually, he said it's neither of you because apparently you guys go to some sort of pirate party and that's where the candy gets given out.
Oh, well, that's true. We go over to our friend Leanne's, but yeah. I thought he was going to ask who's been naked on camera, and I was me.
This is our 300th episode. We keep it so rated G for all of this. G for gay. That's all we got, Jim J.
You do. And I've dropped the F-bomb a couple of times and the B-word.
You know what? I don't think Alf has ever been called that on our show before, so it's great. I'm excited. I'm excited to put this out there to the world. Well, what should we know about your life right now, Jim J. Bullock, other than the basic fact that I adore you?
Oh, thank you. Well, God, I'm fixing to leave. I'm going away. I'm going to be doing repertory theater, which I've never done, in Utah.
Wow. Nice.
And I'm going to be doing Beauty and the Beast. I'm doing Cogsworth, the clock.
Yes.
Which is another show that I've never done. So that's great. I've done Hairspray for so many years now that it's like the only show I've, you know, ever done. But I'm getting to do three new musicals. So I'm getting to do Beauty and the Beast. I'm getting to do Sister Act. And I'm getting to do a brand new musical about the life of Walt and Roy Disney in the early years called When You Wish.
Oh.
So it's very exciting.
I love it. I love it. Look, I have to tell you, it's our 300th episode. The idea of having you on overwhelmed me. You have been such a source of entertainment for me for so long. And I know that you've had all of these amazing projects. But for me, and you did mention this, for me, it does come back to Hollywood Squares. I was such a game show enthusiast. And to have someone like you on there being so authentic, and you felt like, oh my gosh, I know this guy, and he's entertaining me, and he's being authentic, and I can access him. You were such a role model for everything it is that I do, and I'm just so thankful to you, Jim J. Bullock.
Wow, I am so, that is so humbling and lovely of you to say, and thank you so much. I appreciate that. That makes me feel very good, so thank you so much.
You done good, and you got to keep doing good. We should say a belated happy birthday to you. I know you turned 40 again. Very exciting.
I did. I just keep hitting that 40, which I guess there's a wall there, and I'm like one of those, what are those sweepers that kind of, they hit the wall and they turn and they hit the wall again, you know, you can sweep your floor. They're robot little sweepers.
I love that's the fine. Idea. I love the idea of Jim J. Bullock as a Roomba.
A Roomba. That's what, there you go. Thank you. I'm a Roomba. I just keep hitting that 40 wall. I can't break it. I'm 60, and I just turned 60, and I'm proud to be 60. I am healthy, and I'm here, and I've been, I really did have this dawning, like, because 60 was like, oh, you know, but I realized one morning before, around my birthday, that I have been HIV positive for 30 years of my life, 30 years, which is half of my life. And I have never had to take a pill. I've never had to be on the cocktail. I've never dipped below a certain T cell count. I've never had any health issues whatsoever. And so to be here, to be healthy, when so many that I loved and were friends and that have didn't get to celebrate 60, much less, you know, 50 or 40,
right.
I'm very, very, very grateful that I'm here, and I'm very proud to say I'm 60.
Well, we are so grateful that you're here. Jim J. Bullock, what an absolute honor having you on the show.
Thanks, Ken. Thank you so much. It's an honor to be on the show.
Folks, and we are back. Well, our 300th episode of This Show Is So Gay, I'm going to cover some news with you. We want to do a show like we would do every single week because that's what we've been doing for the past 7.5 years. I giggle as I say it because I kind of still can't believe it. And we have all of these other shows lined up, so we're going to just keep on going. As always, though, if you guys have guest ideas, send them on over. Ken@thisshowissogay.com. Would love to hear your guest ideas. Would love to hear them. And just to be clear, yep, that was my mom you heard at the start of the episode. That was our old friend. Jim J. Bullock is our new friend. So we got old friends and new friends, and we have the news. Well, everybody is talking about the state of Indiana. Less than a week after it passed out of committee, legislation in Indiana that would allow businesses to turn away customers who somehow offend the owner's religious beliefs and seemingly targeted at LGBT residents, is headed to the governor's desk. Senate Bill 101, also known as the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, it passed the Indiana House of Representatives by a vote of 63-31 this week. The legislation passed the Senate in February. It now goes on to Republican Governor Mike Pence. Pence, who was expected to sign it into law, despite the vocal opposition of numerous prominent business leaders, including the Indianapolis Chamber of Commerce. The Indiana bill, like this other legislation that's all over the country, the Indiana bill does not specifically mention LGBT people. It doesn't say, hey, you can discriminate against the gays. Instead, it couches its so-called license to discriminate in a stated desire to protect, quote, religious freedom. So, yeah, these are happening all over the country that they're being proposed, but it looks like they're in Indiana, which I just looked at a map, totally right next door to Ohio. Who knew? Who knew? Okay, I probably should have known that. I didn't. I don't know my geography. I'm really bad at it, and I even drove through it once. It's actually passing there in Indiana. The governor is going to sign it into law. Well, unsurprisingly, there is outrage all over the country over this, as there should be. So many responses. Let's talk about a couple of them. If Indiana Governor Mike Pence signs this into law, as he plans to do at a private ceremony, I don't know why he can't do it, you know, publicly. He wants to do it privately. Then businesses are saying they're going to pull out of Indiana, which would be really devastating to the Indiana economy, which I assume, if it's like all the other economies across the country, doesn't necessarily want to lose business. Well, the outrage started with a letter to the governor from the CEO of Gen Con, which is the largest gaming convention in the world. The annual event draws tens of thousands of people to Indianapolis with an economic impact of around $50 million. No other Indiana conference comes close, apparently, in terms of size and economic impact. And so the letter said this. This was from CEO Adrian Swartout. He said this, quote, Gen Con proudly welcomes a diverse attendee base made up of different ethnicities, cultures, beliefs, sexual orientations, gender identities, abilities, and socioeconomic backgrounds. The passage of SB 101 will factor into our decision-making on hosting the convention in the state of Indiana in future years. The governor's office hasn't responded to the letter, but George Takei from Star Trek, who has, if you guys don't know, has the most unbelievable social media following, he had a few thoughts about Indiana's fate should the governor choose to enshrine a license to discriminate in state law. He wrote on his Facebook account, this is George Takei, he wrote, quote, if it goes into effect, Indiana will be marked as a state where certain people are not welcome, and so we will not visit, we will not spend, and we will not attend events, including Gen Con, the world's largest gaming convention held in Indianapolis each year. Many fans here are gamers, Governor Pence, and we will demand the convention move out of your state. In addition to the gamers, at least one sports figure is speaking out against the law, Jason Collins, who is the first openly gay athlete to play in the NBA. The former Brooklyn Nets center tweeted at the governor on Monday asking, quote, is it going to be legal for someone to discriminate against me and others when we come to the Final Four? Question mark. Despite the growing chorus of voices calling for a veto, spokeswoman Kara Brooks, she told a newspaper this week, quote, the governor has been clear on where he stands on this issue, and we don't have anything to add at this time. So this is a little bit different. A few months ago, we had Elizabeth Holford, the executive director of Equality Ohio, and we talked about one of the prominent bloggers who had put out there that he, when he was driving from D.C. to someplace else, I think it was Michigan, they made sure to gas up before they got into Ohio because they didn't want to spend any money in Ohio because Ohio is one of the very few states in the minority that does not have marriage equality. And I took issue with that. And I don't want to look like a hypocrite right now because I do think this is entirely different. When you have a state that is giving a license to discriminate, Ohio doesn't have a license to discriminate. They don't have marriage equality, which sucks, and I feel discriminated against. But it's another thing to codify into law that any business can refuse service to me for being gay because of their religious observances. That's a whole different thing. So what I am saying to you here is, if you are part of an organization that is planning a conference in Indiana, I highly encourage you to contact the organizers of that conference and have a conversation about whether that is the best place for that conference to be. I know that my organization, NASPA, which is the National Association of Student Personnel Administrators, absolutely does have a conference plan in Indiana in the next 2 years. Well, I also know that NASPA, my organization, has a non-discrimination statement that protects for sexual orientation, gender identity, or its expression. So I certainly will be writing to them right after this show to say, hey, you can't have your conference in Indiana. Like, you absolutely cannot do it. And so the regrettable piece of all of this is that it's not the citizens of Indiana who are voting on this legislation. It is their representatives there in the Indiana state government who have said to them, look, this is what we think the most important thing is that we spend our time on. So there will be ramifications for Indiana, and it's going to be really regrettable, and I think it's going to affect a lot of businesses. It's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. So that's happening in Indiana a lot of response to Indiana. You're seeing that all over Facebook, all over social media, of folks writing to their organization saying, hey, then we shouldn't be doing this in Indiana. Let's not have our conference there. Let's not have our meetings there. So yeah. Over in Michigan, so a little bit north, Yvette Cormier, the Midland, Michigan resident who received national attention after her Planet Fitness membership was revoked following repeated complaints about seeing a trans woman in the locker room, is now suing. Again, this is what people spend their time on. I don't have as much free time, I guess, to be filing these lawsuits. So she is now suing the fitness chain because she is saying that she experienced emotional harm, damage to her reputation, invasion of privacy, and breach of contract. She is seeking more than $25,000 in retribution in Midland County Circuit Court. Her suit, just to remind you, we talked about it briefly, relates to the March 4th cancellation of her gym membership, a decision the Planet Fitness Midland Locations Management made in line with its, quote, no-judgment, non-discrimination policy, which includes allowing gym-goers to use the locker room that accords with their, quote, sincere, self-reported gender. Well, Cormier said she was unaware of this policy when she spotted someone she thought was a man, a local trans woman, in the woman's locker room in February, late February. After being informed by her gym's staff, as well as Planet Fitness National Headquarters, that the woman in question had not violated any policies, Cormier returned to the gym for 4 consecutive days to warn other non-trans women that trans women were allowed to share the women's facilities. On the 4th day, Cormier was told by staff that due to her behavior, she no longer had a membership. She no longer had a membership. Well, now she is suing. She said, quote, I feel the policy is kind of one-sided. I feel I am the one that is being punished. I didn't go out to specifically bash a transgender person that day. I was taken aback by the situation. This is about me and how I felt unsafe. I should feel safe in there. So, fine, she had a moment there that she wasn't expecting on that one day. But then again, she went back every single day. Every single day to warn other women, beware, beware, someone who we don't think looks exactly like they should look, because we've determined that for other people. Well, she did that every day for 4 days, and now she's suing for over $25,000. Amazing. Too much free time. I think that's the bottom line. Too much free time. They're lawmakers in Indiana, and too much free time to sue Planet Fitness there in Michigan. In Alabama, gosh, this one, it's not even just about free time, it's just about being so flippin' screwy. The Alabama Supreme Court has already blocked marriage rights for same-sex couples, and now a state legislator is trying to make it more difficult for them to adopt children. This is what we're spending our time on. State Senator Gerald Allen of Tuscaloosa, a Republican, he introduced a bill last week that would allow private adoption agencies, even those that have contracts with the state, to refuse to participate in the adoptions and foster care placements that violate their religious beliefs. This could include placements with same-sex couples or with people whose religions are frowned upon by the agency. This bill would also prohibit the state from refusing to license or contract with the groups that refuse services to people on religious grounds. This state senator said that he seeks to protect faith-based agencies in the event that the U.S. Supreme Court rules for marriage equality. Eric Johnston, attorney who worked on the bill, told the Associated Press, quote, "It's not that they are discriminating against same-sex couples. They are observing their own rights and beliefs," end quote. Let me read that one again. It's not that they are discriminating against same-sex couples. They are observing their own rights and beliefs. I guess the issue with that quote is those two things are not mutually exclusive. By observing their own rights and beliefs, which everyone has a right to do, they can observe their own rights and beliefs, but they are also discriminating against same-sex couples. Those two can happen at the very same time, and they would be happening in Indiana. They would be happening in Alabama. It's just crazy to say, oh, yeah, no, they're not discriminating. They're just following their beliefs. Yeah, those two can happen at the same time. And they are. They're happening. Now, God, adoption. Again, broken record Ken here on the 300th episode reminding everyone, marriage equality, not the only issue out there. Yes, marriage equality, I want it for everyone. Let's get it here in Ohio and the other 12 states that don't currently have it. But then we have things like adoption. We have kids in the system who so desperately need homes. They desperately need homes. And here is State Senator Gerald Allen of Tuscaloosa, Alabama, being proactive, anticipating that the Supreme Court might actually hand down a decision that guarantees equality for all couples across this country with regards to marriage. And he's saying, wait a second, we got to spring in here because we don't want the kids to be with them. These kids who desperately need loving homes and gay couples, same-sex couples who are putting themselves out there to provide these homes. This is what he is spending his time on there in Alabama. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now, in California, I mean, if you haven't heard about this, this is about as nutty gets. He most likely wouldn't like the comparison, but a California attorney named Matt McLaughlin has proposed a ballot initiative that certain terrorist groups would probably support. It calls for putting gay people to death by bullets to the head or any other convenient method. McLaughlin's initiative, called the Sodomite Suppression Act, would mandate this penalty for any person who willingly touches another person of the same gender for purposes of sexual gratification. His rationale is that it is better for sodomites to die rather than that all of us should be killed by God's just wrath against us for the folly of tolerating wickedness in our midst. Wow. Wow. And yet it's getting press because it's out there. He's got to get signatures for it so people are signing on to this. Well, a California activist has a clever response to this proposed ballot initiative calling for death to gay people. She has submitted an initiative of her own called the Intolerant Jackass Act. And I hope I don't have to bleep that out because I'm not bleeping that out. In the legislation, it reads, quote, any person herein known as an intolerant jackass who brings forth a ballot measure that suggests the killing of gays and or lesbians, whether this measure is called the Sodomite Suppression Act or is known by some other name, shall be required to attend sensitivity training for at least 3 hours per month for 12 consecutive months. In addition, the offender or intolerant jackass must donate $5,000 to pro-gay or pro-lesbian organizations. Charlotte Lewis, who mailed the initiative to the state's attorney general's office this week, is a straight woman who has worked in politics and entertainment and who lately has become best known as an activist against revenge porn, which is the practice of sharing sexually explicit photos of individuals without the subject's consent. Her initiative is a response to this insane Sodomite Suppression Act. She told The Advocate this, quote, I felt that ridiculing this man was the best way to defuse his vicious proposal and take away his power. By filing the Intolerant Jackass Act, I am attempting to speak out against prejudice and hatred. It is important to fight injustice and intolerance. I want the world to know that Matt McLaughlin's wretched and small-minded perspective is in the minority. Most people in California are caring and loving individuals who welcome the LGBTQ community. Love it. I love that. Look, this is just one of those examples where you see injustice out there, but you got to figure out what your best way is to use your voice to respond. And so Charlotte Lewis there in California said, you know what? My best way to do this is to file the Intolerant Jackass Act. I love that. You guys have your own way of doing it. And there's no shortage of this. As the Supreme Court, as we get closer and closer to their decision this summer, which could very likely guarantee marriage equality across this country, we're going to see over the next couple months all of this ratcheting up quite a bit. We're going to see the angst. We're going to see the vehemence. We're going to see the intensity of anti-gay legislation just go straight through the roof, and we're seeing it all over the place. Lawmakers in Missouri are considering eight bills that could allow anti-LGBT discrimination, including one that would grant university groups exemptions from non-discrimination policies and another that would require all public restrooms to be gender divided. That's going on in Missouri. In Utah, Utah government officials will be allowed to refuse to marry same-sex couples under legislation signed by Governor Gary Herbert last week. County clerk's offices would be required to designate someone else to perform marriages if a clerk refuses to do so. I mean, there's so much happening out there, and we're going to see this legislation be proposed more and more as the opposition gets more desperate. We're going to see that. And so you guys have to use your voice. If you've learned nothing, if this is your first time listening to The Show Is So Gay, or you've been listening for years, or you've been listening for 300 episodes, this is what I tell you at the end of every single episode, that you have to get out there and use your voice. You cannot wait for other people to do it. You have to write a letter to your senator, to your congressman, to your mayor, wherever you are. Write an op-ed. Go sing a song outside. I don't know what your best way is to use your voice. For me, it's doing this show. I do this show because I feel like that's my way of making a difference. You have a different way of doing it, and I urge you to go do it. I urge you. Please, please, please. Get out there. Use your voice. Whether you are making a radio show and getting to episode 300, or you are doing your thing to make a difference for your LGBT and ally brothers and sisters, first, I thank you for listening. Second, I thank Jim J. Bullock. And third, while you're out there using your voice, please, please remember, why be gay when you can be so gay? All the implications.